Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Monday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us here on the show. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. What a big week it is coming up to start the week or to start the show today. I'm going to try to stay on a positive note today, so I'm going to put that IU-Michigan State game on the shelf until just a little bit later in this segment. But obviously, we know what happened. The Hoosiers came out, got off to a good start, couldn't secure the win, fell apart late in the second half. More on that coming up. But some good news from the weekend. Silver Creek girls are headed to the 3A state championship game. They defeated Tri-West in the 3A Jeffersonville Semistate on Saturday afternoon. And so we've got that to look forward to. Another local team right here in Clark and Floyd counties with the opportunity to play for a state championship. And so blessed in this area we are to have so many high-caliber teams and coaches and high school programs, really across most sports, if you stop and think about it. But girls basketball in this area has been good. In this immediate area, it's been really good. And girls basketball here in Clark and Floyd County at times has been also very good. And Silver Creek with a big opportunity ahead of them. It sounds like, from the little bit Coach Shane has told me and the little bit I've read, that their 3A championship game could be one for the books against South Bend, Washington, coming up on Saturday afternoon. But hats off to Silver Creek. They are on a roll. They're playing great basketball at the right time of the year and just a fun team to watch. They play hard. They play with passion. They're together. They're in unison. It's a good thing to watch, and let's hope that they can bring a state championship trophy back to Silver Creek. Wouldn't it be something with the boys' pairings coming out yesterday, and that's where I'm headed next. If Silver Creek girls could get things started this Saturday with the state championship and the boys could bring one home, what, 3-4 weeks from now on that side as well. It's been done before, I believe, girls and boys state champions in the same year. In fact, I think it hasn't been that long ago that it has been done. I'd have to look that one up. But Silver Creek with that possibility for sure. They're both of those teams' state championship caliber ball clubs. The girls have their opportunity to take a swing at it coming up on Saturday. Also, the pairings came out last night, and I'm not sure about you, but one of my favorite traditions is our pairings show here on the Big X. Normally it's so 7 to 9, a couple hours, but with the pairings being so late last night, the pairings show from Indianapolis was 7 to 9. We couldn't come on the air till 9 o'clock and made it till 10:30 or so last night and had 8 coaches on instead of maybe 12 or so that we would get in a normal year. But I think more than anything, it was just glad to have the pairings. I think we all are, that we've made it this far in the season. We think back to last year's state tournament, how much excitement there was for so many of our local teams. Silver Creek looking to repeat. Floyd Central, their first sectional championship in 31 years. And other storylines as well that just came crashing down when the tournament was canceled because of the pandemic. And while we still battle the pandemic, we're playing basketball, and the season has been crazy with schedule changes and even some weather to date here in the last week or so. But we've made it, and there haven't been, knock on wood, serious issues as far as health or life and death, at least that I'm aware of in our state with high school students, that athletes maybe that have became infected or transmitted the virus at the high school basketball games. But I'm sure that that has happened, but fortunately, again, no reports that I'm aware of deaths or serious illnesses. But we're to the state tournament, and let's hope that things continue to operate somewhat normally. You know, this year we're going to have some heartbreaking stories where a team has to be quarantined or there's a positive case or two and the team gets knocked out of the postseason. That's happened in just about every other sport. Now, it's not been widespread, but it's happened. And let's sure hope and pray that nothing like that happens for our local teams. And really, we don't want to see that happen for anybody across the state, across the country, in any postseason setting, especially for the seniors, especially after what happened last year with the state tournament being halted after the sectional round. But the pairings last night came out class by class. And, boy, there are some interesting draws. Silver Creek's going to have to go through the big dogs. They're the favorite, but they're going to have to beat North Harrison and possibly Madison if the bracket plays out with favorites advancing on. New Albany got a great bye in the 4A draw, but they stay away from Jennings County, Jeffersonville, and Floyd Central until a championship game. So that's the good news. They only have to play one of those teams, but they've got the winner of Bedford and Seymour, and New Albany just barely beat Bedford. I know it was 7 points, but it was much, much closer than that. Really 1, 2, 3 points the entire game for the most part. But New Albany has to beat Bedford again, or Seymour, who took them to overtime back right before Christmas, right after Christmas, and New Albany was able to win in overtime, but it was an ugly game for New Albany. So we'll see how it all plays out, but now we've got the final week of the regular season, which gives us time to think about it, talk about it, predict it, everything else, and get ready for March Madness here in our state. And then, of course, March Madness at the college level as well. And the question looms, and I'm not sure that I'm as confident now today as I was when we headed into the weekend after a couple big Indiana victories last week. I'm not sure that I thought, I'm as confident now that Indiana will have a chance to be in the field for the NCAA tournament this year. But again, we'll talk more about IU Michigan State. Terrible loss for the Hoosiers coming up. And we'll update IU's NCAA tournament resume. Of course, that's a daily deal, it seems like, at this point of the year. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In segment two, we'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU beat writer for the Star. We'll talk about what went wrong. How could Indiana not step on the neck of Michigan State with the great start for once that Indiana had? They let Michigan State back into it late in the first half and then came out again and played well to start the second half, let Michigan State back again in the second half. Ultimately, Michigan State went on to take the lead. Indiana would never regain the lead, and the Hoosiers lose just a terrible, terrible loss for many, many reasons in their Big Ten record, in their NCAA resume. It's not a good loss. There's really no such thing as a good loss, but when you look at quad 1, 2, 3, 4, not a good loss for IU with the season that Michigan State has had. It's been very lackluster itself. And one of the things we're going to have to start talking about, and maybe this happens after the season, it's already come up some, is what about Archie Miller? Boy, he is under some pressure. And what ultimately happens with him? Is he secure after this season? I think the answer is yes. Is he secure after the following season? I think the answer at this point would have to be no if Indiana doesn't make the NCAA tournament this coming March. So some interesting discussions to be had with this Indiana team, the direction of the program, the coaching staff, and other things. Trace Jackson Davis to the NBA, who's coming back next year, a very active transfer portal, recruiting, a lot of things in the offseason. We don't want to get to the offseason. It's best when we're in season. There's no question about that. But time to think about some things with this Indiana team. It's, I think, going to be, no matter if Indiana makes the tournament or not, a very, very interesting offseason for this IU basketball program. So we'll touch on some of that with Zach later in the program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA board member, board president this year is Chad, for the Indiana High School Athletic Association. He'll join us. We'll talk about Silver Creek girls and their great run to the state championship game coming up this week. And the pairings. We'll kind of give our predictions and talk through some of the local sectionals with Chad Gilbert a little bit later in the hour today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service. It's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's has locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And IU's loss to Michigan State, 78-71. Now, I was at the Jeffersonville Sim Estate on Saturday afternoon. I did not get to watch the game live. I was looking at updates and listening a little bit through my phone. With that said, I kind of put the phone down when I saw Indiana got off to a great start and saw the type of game Trace Jackson Davis was having, and it looked like it was going to be maybe his one of his more dominant performances of his career, which it actually ended up being. However, twice especially, Indiana fell apart in that game. Late in the first half, they had a big lead. They had built a lead that could send them over the top into the halftime break with a commanding lead that would make it very tough for Michigan State to put something together in the second half. Indiana lets the Spartans back in the game. To Indiana's credit, this was nice to see. They battled back. They scored, the final 4 or 6 points of the first half. They took a narrow lead instead of a commanding lead into halftime. Then they come back out. Indiana pounds it down low to TJD and to Race Thompson, who also played well for Indiana on Saturday, and they build their lead back up. Not as big as what it was, not a commanding lead, but they were back in control of the game. And so things look good once again for Indiana. This is a Michigan State team that's up and down. They're not very good. Their confidence has to be low. They're not going to make the NCAA tournament. At least it doesn't look like, although after the game on Saturday, you might be able to say they actually are on the bubble now if you look at things from a Big Ten conference perspective and who could make the tournament from the conference as things stand now. But Indiana lets them back in it. And then they got the lead and never looked back. Indiana falls 78-71, really an inexcusable loss. Just puzzling that Indiana's lost some of these games at home. I know the crowd's not there. I know the home environment isn't near as valuable as what it is in a tough Big Ten conference this year as compared to every other year that's been out there. But Indiana's just been a big disappointment at home. Indiana's been unable from time and time again to carry over momentum from one contest to the next and start to put a finish, maybe, on this NCAA tournament resume. Instead of taking a big step forward in their resume, in their win total in the conference, instead Indiana takes, I think, a major step backwards. They were probably a little off of the bubble headed into the game on Saturday. A win on Saturday could have put them even farther off of the bubble because there are some tough games still ahead for this team. They need a little breathing room, I think, to have a reasonable chance to get in and to maybe take some pressure off. Instead, with the loss, I think Indiana squarely is back on the bubble, and I'm not so sure if you look at it if they're not out of the tournament right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what plays out. But Indiana put themselves in an extremely tough situation on Saturday with the loss. But again, Trace Jackson Davis, he was unstoppable, 34 points, 9 rebounds. He played 37 minutes for Indiana, and some of the same old issues, except for the slow start. They got off to a good start in the first half and the second half. I'll give Indiana that. But some of the same old issues pop up again for this team, playing not good at home. Backcourt, Rob Phinisee, just amazing. I don't know where he goes. He's in and out and gives you hope one game, and the next game he is non-existent in every stat column basically that there is on a stat sheet. So, Indiana, if you're a fan of the Hoosiers and were watching that one closely with high hopes on Saturday to get your weekend started, boy, what a sad way to do so. A not good performance, a terrible loss for this Indiana team, and we'll talk more about it coming up with Zach Osterman a little bit later in the program. One other Big Ten note, if you wanted to see some good Big Ten basketball over the weekend, the Michigan-Ohio State was fabulous. That game was great. Michigan State wins. The Wolverines, not Michigan State. Michigan wins over Ohio State. How about Juwan Howard's team coming back from a total shutdown basically for 2 weeks and winning their games so far back in conference play? And that one was huge against Ohio State as far as at the top of the conference. It looks like Michigan is well on their way to a conference championship, no matter how many Big Ten total games they wind up with. They missed a lot in that two and a half weeks that they were out. And some of the games have been rescheduled. Some more could be rescheduled. But no matter what happens, Michigan looks to be in control of the Big Ten Conference at this point as well. Quick look at sectional pairings in 1A at Borden. Boy, that's a great sectional to go to. The fans are awesome. We'll see what attendance is announced for some of these sectional locations, I'm sure, coming up in the next few days. But interesting draw there. Lanesville's the favorite, But will they come out? The interesting path for the Eagles. Game one is Rock Creek and Christian Academy of Indiana. Rivals will play in that opening game on Tuesday night at Borden. Then Borden gets the winner of Rock Creek and Christian Academy. Rock Creek the favorite probably to win that game, but Christian Academy beat him in the regular season. A Rock Creek-Borden game on that semifinal night would be a great contest, I think. Lanesville, New Washington, Coach Miller of Lanesville has been there forever now, doing great things with that program year in and year out. He'll take on his former assistant coach, Kyle Brown, in game two, and the winner of Lanesville and New Washington will take on South Central in a semifinal game. Class 2A sectional 45, that one is at Southwestern of Hanover. The favorite, Southwestern Hanover and Switzerland County, will play in game one. Henryville awaits the winner of that game. Henryville could be the sleeper. They are undefeated against sectional competition, 4-0, although they did not play Southwestern Hanover in the regular season this year. Austin-Providence, they'll meet in game two. Clarksville will get the winner of that game, so very likely could be Clarksville and Providence in a big semifinal matchup at Southwestern on Friday night. 3A sectional 30 at Charlestown. It's a seven-teamer. Silver Creek, they're the big favorite. They should win it. All signs point to that. But the Dragons are going to have to go through potentially North Harrison and Madison, the other two good teams, solid teams in that sectional, if they're going to come out and make another run at a state championship. Silver Creek will open in game one against Cordon Central. North Harrison gets the bye. The undefeated Mid-Southern Conference champions from North Harrison will be waiting for Silver Creek in that semifinal game on Friday. The other two first-round games, Madison and Salem, Scottsburg and Charlestown, those winners will play each other in the second semifinal game on Friday night, and that is obviously 1 week from this Friday night. 4A at Seymour, New Albany gets the best draw and an interesting lower side of the bracket. Game one, Bedford North Lawrence and Seymour will play. New Albany gets the winner in the first semifinal game on Friday night. Game two, Jeff and Jennings County. Jennings County's been really good this year. They beat New Albany. They beat Floyd Central. But Jeff absolutely handled them a week or and a half or so ago in a regular season game. The Floyd Central, will await the winner of Jennings County and Jeffersonville in the second semifinal at Seymour on Friday night. And if you think about it, if our locals win, if New Albany can win their semifinal game against either Bedford or Seymour, if Floyd Central or Jeff play on Friday night, and then again the winner would take on New Albany Saturday, if all that works out, we're going to be treated to a great week of basketball at Seymour and a rivalry game on Friday night. Let's hope it's Floyd Central and Jeffersonville, and then let's hope it's New Albany and the winner of Floyd and Jeff on Saturday night. Seymour is great, but it's best when the locals play in the championship game, and we've been treated to some great New Albany-Floyd Central matchups at Seymour in recent years, and we'll see how things shake out this year at the 4A sectional at Seymour. We'll head to a commercial break. Those are your Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins in the next segment. We'll talk about IU's loss to Michigan State. Not a good one, no question about it, on Saturday. Their NCAA tournament resume, and what's next for this Indiana team? Can they bounce back after such a poor, poor performance in the second half? This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star with me. He's the IU beat writer for the Star and kind enough to join us on Mondays to start our coverage of IU basketball for the week. Zach, there's plenty of negativity to talk about surrounding IU's loss, a bad one at home on Saturday afternoon to Michigan State. But before we do that, I want to talk about a story that's only for subscribers of the Indianapolis Star that you wrote following that game that more is about the whole situation right now in Bloomington. And you write about the loss being very hard to explain against a Michigan State team that is struggling and a program that just can't seem to get going or maybe stay going in the right direction in year four for Archie Miller. And obviously don't want you to give the story away, but maybe promo, preview that story, very well written, and really get you thinking about what the future of IU basketball with Archie Miller will look like and how much longer things will go on as is.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's been kind of, even if you sort of remove, you know, Archie Miller's first season, and you allow for the mitigation of injuries in its second, you know, that's obviously the Romeo Langford year when Indiana starts 12-2 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, and then the season, you know, the team just kind of gets consumed by injuries, and through January and most of February struggles, and then, you know, kind of writes itself a little bit and winds up in the NIT. The strange thing, and this, you know, the story goes into some of this. It doesn't go into all of it, but I think that it would be fair to represent, you know, my line of thinking in writing that story is related, you know, to this more broadly. This theme is that it's just been incredibly difficult to kind of put a finger on what it is that is holding Indiana back under Archie Miller, because I think that even if you allow for the idea that there are some fans that are going to be unreasonable, and that's not just true of Indiana, that's true of every program, particularly in the information age we live in, where social media amplifies those sorts of unreasonable opinions and gives us much more direct access to those sorts of unreasonable opinions, you know, in a way that it never has before. You know, even if you're just kind of talking about what I think are reasonable expectations right now for Indiana, which is to say, make the NCAA tournament pretty much every year and have a sort of baseline identity, I guess you'd say, that you feel like sort of defines, you know, even thinking about some of the other programs in the Big Ten, a program like Michigan, where not every, you know, because I think it's fair to say that Juwan Howard, there are some differences between what John Beilein did and what Juwan Howard did, but you still feel like there's an identity to Michigan that's built around offense and court spacing. And, you know, even in a year where Michigan's only maybe, you know, good enough to finish fifth or sixth in the Big Ten, you still know what Michigan's about. You still know what Wisconsin's about. In a normal year, and this isn't one, of course, in East Lansing, but in a normal year, you know what a Tom Izzo-led Michigan State team is about. Indiana hasn't been able to find that. But what has been kind of confounding is that there have been a number of times, where it feels like Indiana's sort of flirted with it or come close to it or certainly appeared to be on track toward it. And that's not just in results, though, of course, there have been results. You know, I mean, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Indiana swept its season series with Michigan State. This year, Indiana swept its season series with Iowa. I can go and find you, you know, other, I want to say that Indiana's beaten 13 ranked teams under Archie Miller, and 12 of them have been in the last 3 years. So I think that number's right. So, you know, Indiana is competing enough to get itself to seem to open those windows. And then when you look at recruiting and you say that, you know, okay, you know, maybe Romeo Langford, maybe Indiana didn't get as much out of Romeo Langford's one season in college as you would have hoped. You still say, well, three straight Mr. Basketball winners. You look at the offer lists, a lot of the kids in Indiana's coming in and getting, you know, Rob Finnessy had a Purdue offer, Ray Thompson, Minnesota, and I think Purdue, Jerome Hunter, Ohio State and Michigan, Trey Galloway, Michigan State and Purdue, Trace Jackson Davis, everybody wanted Armand Franklin picked between IU and Purdue. Butler and Xavier have often been in those conversations as well. You know, it just, you're recruiting the state well, you're recruiting the footprint well. You know, everything would seem to make sense. The scheme, the style, everything would seem like it should work. And then you see enough results to suggest that maybe it ought to, but then you also see enough of this, which is just Indiana just, I don't know, allergic to success or unable to sustain momentum or however you want to put it. You know, I mean, this is in all likelihood, I think, going to be 3 years in a row, or excuse me, 2 years in a row, Indiana doesn't win three straight Big Ten games. You know, I mean, at any point in the season. And it just, it feels like for whatever reason, Indiana can kind of only really dig down and get the results it needs when it absolutely has to, but it can't sustain any sort of progress, whether, you know, week to week or within a season or more broadly. And so I don't know how you reconcile all that, but it just feels like even Archie Miller's own work and what he's done and what he's been able to do in recruiting and talent development and acquisition, it just should be adding up to more than it's been able to at this point.
Yeah, good stuff. And make sure you check the story out at IndyStar.com/sports from Zach for subscribers on that very topic. Let's get into the game on Saturday. Zach, Indiana actually got off to a good start, which has been something that has troubled them almost every game out this season. They seem to get off to a slow beginning. Even Trace Jackson Davis at times have slow starts. But that wasn't the case on Saturday. In fact, they got off to a great start in the first half and a solid start in the second half of play. Indiana could just not hang on to a Michigan State team that you'd have to go back many years to see a Michigan State team that's this bad and that is really on the brink of likely not making the NCAA tournament. It's just hard to believe that a Tom Izzo coach team with, I know they've had issues with COVID and injuries and other things, but this team has just not come together as some thought that they would, and Indiana couldn't take advantage of all that at home on Saturday with momentum headed in their direction.
Yeah, I think maybe the most concerning bits of it, there's two parts. One is the defensive collapse in the second half. You know, Indiana allowed Michigan State, which is far and away one of the worst offensive teams in the Big Ten this season, by a lot of different metrics. It's not like they've got something they can hang their hat on and a bunch of different weaknesses. You know, they're too careless with the ball. They can't shoot it well enough. You know, their rotations are screwed up. I mean, all of it. They allowed that team to score 45 points in the last 15 and a half minutes of the second half. And it just, it was bizarre to watch because it really did feel like you felt like watching a boxer who just caught one, and was just completely stunned and, you know, kept trying to shake it off and just couldn't. I mean, it just, there were long stretches where it almost felt like Indiana was playing through a dream sequence where you could kind of see what was happening, but you could also see that they just suddenly could do nothing about it. And I think that, you know, we can get into that, probably raises some intangible questions for Archie Miller. And also, listen, you know, nobody puts a coach at the front of the line more than me when it comes to talking about a team's issues. But after a game like that, I think it also really does come down to his players a little bit. That there were elements of Indiana's performance in that game where you would look at Indiana's players and say, your coach can't defend for you. Your coach can't call out screens. Your coach can't, you know, box out on rebounds. Your coach can't keep Michigan State from getting 12 offensive rebounds. That's something that's got to be on you, and you've got to find that energy yourself. And I think that's something Indiana has missed this year, is, or something Indiana, probably more accurate to say, something Indiana has not figured out, which is when there's no energy in the building, good or bad, but certainly, you know, good energy in the building at Assembly Hall, Indiana has not found ways to consistently enough. I mean, it has at times, but it has not found ways consistently enough to produce that for itself and to kind of be the source of its own energy, its own spark, you know, its own emotion. And I think that was a real problem on Saturday. But I think the biggest, maybe the most, when you talk about mentality, and again, where you maybe talk about, and I'm not going to criticize individual players. First of all, it's not really my job to. Second of all, you know, I think you can go down a real rabbit hole of just starting to point fingers at this or that or whatever, without being in those huddles and knowing those game plans. You'll never know exactly who, you know, who screwed up what. But I think maybe the biggest intangible sort of concern I'd have if I was an Indiana fan coming out of that game, the degree to which Michigan State showed Indiana all of its weak spots, like for extended period, certainly in the first half, but even to some extent in the second, especially at the start, as you talked about there. I mean, Michigan State made it pretty clear, this is how you beat us. This is what we don't do well. This is how we screw up. This is how, you know, this is how you can get us. We turn the ball over too damn much. We can't shoot it well enough unless we're given, you know, enough quality looks to get warm. We can't force a lot of turnovers. You know, we aren't even that great of a rebounding team. This is how you can beat us. And the formula did not look that hard. And Indiana just couldn't run with it at all. It was, I'm going to sound like a history nerd here for a moment, but before the Battle of Antietam, Union soldiers discovered Confederate battle plans wrapped around a series of cigars in an abandoned camp. And so they knew what was going to happen. And still the battle was more or less a draw because it was so poorly mismanaged. It felt like Michigan State spelled out to Indiana, here is how you beat Michigan State. And Indiana just, I think I saw a statistic, I think somebody threw this out on Twitter, that at one point early in the first half, Indiana was up 11 and Michigan State didn't score for like 4 minutes and Indiana had 7 straight empty possessions. And you could just kind of see Indiana, you know, you could see all these opportunities for Indiana to really seize control of the game, go up 20 points, go up, you know, get the lead so high, Michigan State basically just quit. And I think Michigan State would have been a team that was there for the quitting. And you could see it just sort of bleeding away from Indiana and bleeding away from Indiana because they just could not execute to save their own life.
Zach, before we head to commercial break, quickly, your thoughts on how damaging this Michigan State loss was to Indiana's tournament resume. And again, the age-old question, it seems, in IU basketball, when we get to the month of February, this is probably the 100th time this month I've asked this question on this show, and it's going to come up a lot more, but where does Indiana stand in relation to getting in the tournament this season?
It certainly doesn't help. Again, if we're using the trusty bracket matrix, as of yesterday, because bracket matrix, I think, always updates basically either like the very end of the day or the very beginning of the day. Indiana was an 11 seed. They were in 87 of 100 brackets. I think there's still a feeling that as of right now, they're in there. I think the trouble for Indiana is really much more that this was kind of the win that cleared the bad losses away. And just said, okay, it would have been like a quad three win, so it wouldn't have been very valuable on Selection Sunday, but it would have just kind of entrenched Indiana at 13-9, going into these last four games and basically saying, get any one of these last four, and that's probably what's going to lock you in. Now you feel like Indiana's got to win at least one of these four, three of which, of course, are on the road at Rutgers, Michigan at home Saturday, then at Michigan State, and at Purdue to finish the season. I do not, for the record, expect that Michigan game in Ann Arbor to be rescheduled, which, of course, may be a mercy for Indiana, given how good Michigan is right now. But based on everything I've heard, I do not expect it to go back on the schedule. I just don't think there's room for it. But the point is, you've probably now got to win at least one of these four games, maybe two of them, to be honest with you, if you're Indiana, to really feel comfortable, especially if one, we assume, is Indiana maybe getting a little bit of a revenge game up in Michigan State. I think you may still need to win one of the other three to compensate. And maybe Indiana goes 1-3 down the stretch here and still gets in. Maybe they win a game in the Big Ten tournament. And at the end of the day, the strength of their overall schedule holds up for them. But I think that they could have fallen off the bubble on the right side, possibly for good, if they'd won that Michigan State game. And instead, I think they are squarely back on it now.
Yeah, I agree. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, as always, Zach, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back and talk high school basketball. The pairings out on Sunday, some big games over the weekend, and Silver Creek girls headed to a 3A state championship game on Saturday afternoon against South Bend, Washington. We'll do that and more with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, former coach, and IHSA board president in the next segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown High School's athletic director, former basketball coach in the area, and IHSAA executive board president. Chad, so much to talk about, but let's quickly start with the Silver Creek girls. They win the 3A semi-state at Jeffersonville on Saturday, and they advance to play South Bend, Washington in what, by all accounts, if you look at Silver Creek and you look at the South Bend, Washington team that we'll be talking more about later in the week, should be a fantastic 3A state title game.
Well, Matt, first of all, let's think back. Let's rewind. Last year at this time, okay? We're talking about the sectional. Silver Creek versus Salem here at Charlestown. Silver Creek loses that sectional championship the worst way you can lose a sectional championship. And I think that's no secret to anybody. And we talked about that, and we talked in the air. We even quoted the old Aerosmith song, "Sometimes you got to lose to know how to win." And that's what Silver Creek has done. I think they've taken that game, and that has motivated them throughout the offseason, and they've gotten themselves in a position where they know how to win. If you look at John Harrell's site and you see the prediction, you see the matchup, I don't think you can get any better of a matchup than what we're looking for on Saturday. It's going to be an outstanding game. And if you're Coach Scott Shane, you've had a great season, but you want to finish it off. And that's the one thing this week. You know, it's a hectic week for all the coaches. They're in Indianapolis today. They'll be doing their tape work and getting everything squared away, working on scouts. Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, everybody wants to take you out to eat during the week. So you're trying to get your legs under you, get your opponent ready, and be able to perform on the biggest stage that you've worked for your entire life. So the bottom line in this whole thing, if you want to perform at the highest level, you better feel good and play good. And that's the best advice I would give, Scott Shane, is make it special, make memories, but make sure those kids feel good, because the more often times I've seen teams up there that feel good, the better they play.
Absolutely, Chad Gilbert. My guess, you have been part of a big tournament run, especially on the girls' side, which culminated in a state championship. And that was even different because you had to go all the way up to Fort Wayne that year to play the state final, the state championship game. But you mentioned this week, it starts on Monday. Coach Shane just engulfed today with press conference and a meeting about all the details and how everything's going to work. AD John Dablo there as well. And it's just so much to take in. Then you come back to practice and try to get something done with your team today, maybe begin to talk about your opponent for Saturday. But so many community deals, and I don't know, maybe it's different this year with COVID. Maybe there won't be as much, but everybody wants a piece of you, especially when you're successful. And, of course, Sellersburg just thrilled for the success of their boys and girls basketball team. And so there will be a lot of off-the-court things this week for the Dragons in advance of the big one. And you're probably best to talk about because you've been through all that.
Oh, man, like you said, the Silver Creek faithful are behind them. You were at the game. You announced the game Saturday. Not many empty seats there. And, you know, both teams will get 1,000 tickets this week, and I'd say Silver Creek will buy as many tickets as they can get, judging by how they followed the team so far and how they followed their boys' team. The bummer part on this is the boys' sectional. Silver Creek plays Tuesday night, typically in a game against Cordon, which Silver Creek will win, and Silver Creek will win big. But for a gate standpoint, you're wanting the Silver Creek crowd to come to that Tuesday. And I'll say this, after a sectional run, your fans get worn out after going every weekend on that girls' side. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get revved back up, because their boys have the same opportunity to get back up there again. But like you said, Matt, going into it, there's just so many distractions that you got to keep your team away from and focused on what your goal is. We had ours at Fort Wayne, like you said. We got a blowout on the way to Fort Wayne. I was driving. Lisa Stimler was the AD. We got pulled. I pulled over on the side of the road and had Brownstown's AD pick us up and take us to Fort Wayne. We had to come back and take care of our blowout tire on the side of the road on 69 heading to Fort Wayne. So there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on with that. But the one thing I'll tell you is we played ours in Fort Wayne. I'd play that thing anywhere in the world to have an opportunity to play for a state championship. When we were on the boys' side, we made it to the Final Four, and Cathedral beat us. We had a pretty good situation there because we played our sectional in Seymour, our regional in Seymour, and our semi-state in Seymour. So that was we were pretty comfortable. You know, we called that Jeffersonville North for a little bit because we felt like we were making that trip up there. So you got to make sure that you stay in line. You got to make sure you do not lose focus, and you got to make sure that you stick to what your goal was, and that's to win a state championship.
Chad, let's flip and talk about the boys' pairings, which came out last night. Lots of fun listening to that. It's a tradition every year. And, of course, to gather the coaches locally. A little shorter than normal. We only had 8 coaches on, hour and a half, as opposed to longer normally because of such the late draw, 7-9 in Indianapolis. But when you look across the board, we got to start with 4A. I'm a New Albany guy. You formerly were at Jeffersonville, the coach there. And talk about Seymour, there's nothing better to me, and everybody has their own preference, than Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium in the month of March for postseason basketball. And if you look at sectional 15 there, New Albany clearly got the best draw. They will await Bedford, North Lawrence, and Seymour in that Friday semifinal game. Jeff will have to beat Jennings County, who's had a good season. They would have to go against Floyd Central, who got the bye on Friday. So interesting to see how that works out and how important ultimately that draw ends up being this year.
Matt, you think about us when you're in Scott Gymnasium. What's the announcer's name up there? You know his name.
Kurt Nichols.
The best there is.
Great guy.
Nothing against you, but
no,
the best announcer there is.
When I did PA for New Albany Sectional, girls, a couple weeks ago, and I did the Jeff Semistate, which is why I wasn't on the radio Saturday, who did I call? Kurt Nichols to get advice. And let me steal your script there, buddy.
And that's why you're outstanding. You get it from the best. And Kurt is the best. You see him working over there. He's got headphones on. He's got a microphone on. He's working 2 laptops. But you just think in your mind, and here come the Bulldogs. Now for the Red Devils. And they're the timeouts, you know, and here's your cheerleaders. And you can just hear them coming out there with, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It gets goosebumps on your arms. You know, you're thinking about that happening. And so to play in that is something like no other. Hopefully it'll be in yellow. They may be able to get 4,000 people in there. But judging by the draw, woo, the Devils have been my choice to win that sectional all the way through. But that draw did them no favors at all, Matt. I think Jennings County came down, you know, and played them. And Jennings County is supposed to have one of the best teams they've had in years. But you look at Jeffersonville. Jeffersonville smacked Jennings County, smacked them pretty good at Johnson Arena. They're a different team with Fairman. You know, now that Fairman's back, I think they've only lost one, Matt. Is that right? To Lawrence North?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're putting points up, you know, where they were struggling to score, and now they're putting 70 points up. So I think Jennings County came down here and said, we're going to go toe-to-toe with you guys and let's see what happens. Well, going back home on that ride up 65, they probably figured out we can't go toe-to-toe with these guys. So I would think that they're going to be in a situation where Floyd Central is and New Albany is, where you got to make that game first 1-50. You know, if you go over 50, too much over 50, Jeffersonville's going to beat you. I think the lower scoring game, you got to hold possessions. You got to make Jeffersonville guard you. And you got to make sure that you value the basketball, because they will put some heat on you and they will try to get easy baskets. But all three teams, that's the only shot they have to win. If any of those three teams, Floyd Central, New Albany, or Jennings County, goes toe-to-toe with Jeffersonville, Jeffersonville will win that sectional.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, let's jump down to 3A. You're going to host that at Charlestown High School. Silver Creek's, I think, the big favorite, but they got no favors in the draw either. Creek will open up against Cordon. When they win that game, they will take on North Harrison, who, what a season they have had with Coach LaFay and Langdon Hatton, who's headed to play D1 Hoops 8-0. First time they've won the conference, the Mid-Southern Conference, outright and undefeated ever. But Silver Creek would have to play North Harrison on Friday after a first-round game against Cordon. And if the bracket holds as far as favorites, they'd have to beat Madison, who under Sharon Wilkerson has been really good this year in the championship game.
Well, we're hoping we have 1,600 at every game. We'll play our games. We'll clear the crowd, and we'll go out from that one. But a couple of things on that one. One, if you don't think Silver Creek has not circled another chance to play North Harrison, you're crazy. I mean, they feel like they got them without being at full strength now that Kaufman's back. North Harrison, if you don't think that they're thinking, man, let's see how good these guys are with Kaufman, which I'm going to tell you right now, they're really, really good with Kaufman. I think Silver Creek could win the 4A if you put them in there. But it's going to be a battle. You know, you talked about Langdon Hatton for just a second there. Any other year, Langdon Hatton's a lock Indiana All-Star. Not to say he's not an Indiana All-Star this year, but any other year, a lock. And that's something that shows how good of a team North Harrison is. It will be a battle, but at the end of the day, I mean, just Silver Creek just has too much. They just have too much for anybody in 3A. It's theirs to lose, and I don't see them losing it.
Chad, we got to go here in about a minute, but other thoughts on 2A and 1A? We'll have time to talk about it again next week, but some interesting draws there, and I'm not sure that there are clear-cut favorites, maybe as clear-cut as in normal years.
Well, it's a great opportunity. The 2A is a great sectional when you look at those guys on there and how how evenly matched the teams are through there. I think that will be a battle with Southwestern. You know, they want some revenge from Providence winning that sectional last year. And then the 1A, you know, it's up for grabs. See what happens. We played Lanesville out here. Lanesville has a nice basketball team. In the tournament, it's not the best team that wins. It's who's the best team that night, Matt.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School, former coach in the area, and IHSA board president. Chad, you've got some work again after hosting the girls' regional. Now you'll have the boys' sectional coming up. Thanks for what you do, and we'll talk with you again next Monday, one day in advance of sectional play, which will be a lot of fun.
Appreciate the run, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. That wraps this up for our Monday show. Tuesday, back at 11 o'clock. We also, on Tuesday, have Jeffersonville at Madison Tuesday night. That's a big late-season Hoosier Hills Conference game. I'll talk with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.